Yeah. Shibhad Panamam Sabha Kachakshai Sutta Sadashi Shibhad Bhakti Vedanta Sabha Maharaj Ki Jai. Our glories to the Assam devotees. Our glories to the Assam devotees. Our glories to the Assam devotees. Our glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. So we'll sing the verses 38 to 43. Kevaya namarupapyam, kevaya namarupapyam, yadubi sahapandava,
yadubi sahapandava,
bhavato darshanam yari. Tat-pata-rankita-bhati Salakshana vilakshite Ime janapada svita Subhagva shahi vivita Vanadina diranvanta Hirante tava vikshite Atha Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurte Svakeshume Sneha Pashamimam Chinti Jiridam Pandusa Vishnisha Taime Nani Vishaya Mati matupate sakrit Rati mudvata radha Gande vaukam maranvati Shri Krishna Krishna Sakya Vishni Vishabhavani Trug Rajanya Vamsha Dahana Napavarga Virya Rajanya Vamsha Dahana Napavarga Virya Govinda Gati Jasurati Haravatara Govinda Gati Jasurati Haravatara Yogeshara Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste Yogeshara Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. So, before we discuss the verses, of course, first I will say obeisances. Mukam makarati vachalam bhangam langhayate girim yakipantamam vande shri guru jinatavinam Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshumiritam Yena Tasamai Shri Guruve Namaha. So yesterday we had some homework, two questions. One question was, try to do something that you know will be pleasing to Krishna, or try to do your work or your service in the mentality of, I'm trying to please Krishna by doing this. Did anybody try that yesterday? Yes. Addressing the deities. So while you're addressing the deities, you're meditating.
Addressing my own deities.
Your own deities.
And I was meditating on the every new moon, I was standing in the
pool. Okay. Was it a different experience? Different experience. Very special. When you're trying to, when you're doing your service, you think, I'm trying to make Krishna happy right now. By this service, I'm trying to make Krishna happy, I'm trying to please him. Anybody else try something yesterday? And this question, trying to make Krishna happy. Yes?
Cooking with devotees
for devotees. Trying to make, that will make Krishna happy. Yes. Okay. Do you have any realization on that, or it was just... You couldn't do without help. Okay, so we had the second question, depending on Krishna. So not only did you depend on Krishna, you depended on the devotees. Okay. Anybody else have...
When you're serving. There's a tendency that Krishna is automatically in focus.
When you're serving together...
When you're just sitting around talking, there's a tendency to get...
Tendency to get mundane.
But when you're sitting together, Krishna, because you're doing everything, you have to focus.
Okay, you have to focus. The association becomes extra sweet. Okay? Anybody else try that yesterday?
Bali Puja.
Bali Puja?
Bali
Puja. What was that? Oh. So you're in preaching, Bhagavan Katha. Yes, you were preaching, and there you were trying to please Krishna. Oh, very good. That is the most pleasing thing, when you're trying to bring somebody else to him. That is very pleasing, very good. Yes? Yesterday was Harinam, okay?
Pleasing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Good. So that's, this morning yesterday I missed Mangalarti because I got up a little late, so this morning I had the opportunity to sleep, and my alarm went off, and I was thinking, no, I have to do something to please Krishna today, I must get up for Mangalarti. So that really helped me to get up easier, otherwise I would have, my mind would have said, no, but more, a little more sleep now. But I was thinking, and that was nice because then nobody was there, and so I sang Sringa prayers and I sang Tulsi Arti. It was very nice. Because I got up to please Krishna, and then I got to do so many other things to please him. Yes?
I went for a walk yesterday, and on my way back, I bought
a
flower for Krishna.
Oh, very good. Good. So many of us go for a walk, but how many of us pick a flower to please Krishna? Yes. The devotee, when he sees the flower, he doesn't think, oh, it's for me to enjoy. He thinks, oh, this would be so nice to give to Krishna. That's how we see the world. We see it as for Krishna's pleasure. So that's very nice. Now, this second question was depending on Krishna. So did anybody realize how you were depending on Krishna yesterday in your life? Anybody have that realization or tried that one? Yes?
I was dependent on his motivation to motivate me.
You were dependent on Krishna's motivation to motivate you. Okay. Yeah?
Yeah, I was praying for him to give me motivation.
You're praying for him to give you... So you were depending on him to give you the motivation to serve him. Very good. Very good. Anybody else depending on Krishna yesterday? Okay. We're depending on Krishna every moment. If he didn't give us the air, we couldn't breathe. If he didn't give us the strength, we couldn't get up or do anything. He is the ability in man. So Kunti, and when Karunika comes, then we'll have her tell her story. She had a story about depending on Krishna, and the day before, the mercy of Krishna. So when she comes, we'll have her tell her story. She wanted to tell it yesterday, and she was late. So she's late today. Well, we will interrupt our class when she comes and have her tell her story of how she's dependent on Krishna and how the mercy came to her the day before yesterday when we had our mercy day. Okay, verse 38. Now, Kunti is praying, and she's pleading with Krishna, please don't leave us. She's giving so many reasons, and today she's going to give some more reasons why Krishna should not leave. Verse 38, Kevaya namarupabhyam yarubi sahapandava bhavato darshanam yarhi rishikanam iveshitu. As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of a living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities, along with Pandavas and Yadus, will end at once. So we know what happens when the body is finished. People tend to forget about you unless they're your family member or somebody who's very attached to you. They forget. Imagine 200 years from now, who is going to remember you? You're just going to be a name in a list of names. Perhaps somebody will be born in your family. Oh, that was my great-great-great-grandfather. But what will they know about you? And what will they think about you? So when the body is finished, your name and your fame is finished. Most probably, unless you write a book or something. So the Pandavas, Kunti was saying that people think we are the greatest in the world. We are the emperor of the world. We are the kings of the world. But if you go, there's no value to all this name, all this fame. What is the use of it if you leave us? Kevayam, who are we? What is our value? So we know at the end of life, what happens to the body? It becomes either stool or ashes, or what's the other one? Well, three things. Stool, ashes, or worms, that's the other one. If you bury it in the ground, then the worms eat it. And if you throw it out, then the dogs and the vultures will eat it, and it becomes stool after they pass. And if you burn it, then it becomes ashes. So that is this. We just had two devotees leave their bodies in Mayapur. I was at one cremation, the other one I missed. It was the same time I was leaving. Within 2 weeks, we had two devotees leave. So when you go there and you've seen the person the day before, and he's, you know, in there and the eyes are bright and everything. The next day you see him lying down on the fire, and you really understand what is the body is dead, actually. It's dead right now, it's dead. But because the soul is inside, therefore, we see that it is moving and it's living. But actually, it's not a living, it's a dead body that we're carrying around here. And we're just making it alive because we're in it. It's just like our clothes. Our clothes are dead, our jacket is dead, or whatever we're wearing is not living. We take it off, then it's not a loss. But our body is the same, actually. It's the same materials. And when we take it off, then we realize, when the soul leaves, that it's actually a dead body. So a person who has no devotion to Krishna, he may be born in a great family, he may have so much money, he may be so intelligent and so full of knowledge, but it's like ornaments on a dead body. A civilization without Krishna is like a civilization without, like a dead civilization. So Srila Prabhupada explains that consciousness, we all have some consciousness, awareness of our existence, but without Krishna, then that consciousness is like that of an animal or of a tree. It's not very valuable. So therefore, she's saying that please don't leave us. If you leave us, we are dead. And that is how the Vrijabasis, the residents, when Krishna would leave them, when he went to Mathura, they were almost like dead people. They only kept themselves alive simply in the hope that Krishna would come back and they would see him again. So now Kunti is saying, you will leave us, we won't see you. What is the value of our eyes? They'll leave Radharani. When she was a baby, she was born blind, our Radharani, because she didn't want to see anybody but Krishna first. So she wouldn't open her eyes until Krishna came and looked at her. Then she opened her eyes. She didn't want to see anybody else except Krishna. So when she was in her cradle and everyone was like, oh, it's such a beautiful girl, but she's blind. Well, what shall we do with this baby? She's blind. But then Krishna came crawling over and picked himself up and glanced at her, and then she opened her eyes. So that's what Kunti is saying. Without, if I don't see you, what is the value of my eyes? There's nothing else to see in this world. The devotees, they don't want to see anything in this world except Krishna. And so this is what she is expressing here. So verse 39, it's a little bit more expanded. Nayam sho bishate tra yate danim gadadhara tat padanankita bhati svalakshana vilakshite. O Gadadhar, Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave it, it will no longer be so. So not only is the body beautiful when it is in contact with Krishna, but the kingdom, the whole community, is beautiful as long as Krishna is there. Right? Krishna is the center. It's described that there is a tree of this universe. And that tree is connected to Krishna. But if you have a civilization that is without God consciousness, it's like cutting the branch off the tree. It's cut off from reality because it cannot exist without Krishna. Nobody is separated from Krishna. Everybody's connected. But we have the idea or the misconception that we are disconnected and therefore we suffer. But if we keep Krishna in the center, then there will be all opulence. Everything will be beautiful. Just like the other day, we had this picture of, wealth equals zero. Knowledge equals zero. Strength equals zero. Beauty equals zero. But then if you add a one to all those zeros, what is that one? What is the one that you add to make it valuable?
Krishna.
If you add the one, then all the zeros become very valuable. So, if we add Krishna to this civilization, it's a very beautiful place here, New Zealand. Very beautiful. I've been sightseeing every day in the mountain and in the beaches. And it's a very beautiful place. All you need to do is add Krishna to make it perfect. So Prabhupada, in his lecture on this verse, he told us the secret how to keep Krishna always in the center, always present, and that is by kirtan. By having kirtan, wherever the devotees chant, then Krishna comes. And as soon as Krishna comes, then all opulences are there. So Srila Prabhupada explains that actually Krishna was not leaving the Pandavas, just like he never left Vrindavan. Because when you think of Krishna, then the effect is that he'll be more there than when he's actually there. When you're intensely feeling separation from Krishna, then he's much more intensely present. You feel more the separation, you feel his presence when you're feeling separation. There is a saying that in separation from Krishna, then we see Krishna everywhere. We see, oh, is he there? Is he there? That's how the gopis, they were asking the bushes, they were asking the trees, have you seen Krishna? Because they were feeling, they really wanted. I mean, you get in this mad state. Sometimes a mother may get like that if she loses her child. Have you seen my child? I can't find my child anywhere. Where is my child? One time I was like that in the village. We were living in a village in Goa, and my son got wheels before he was 2 years old. He got a tricycle. So one day he just took off, and I didn't know where he was. And I went to my friend's house, and I found him there, and he had gone across the highway and everything with his tricycle. You know, so I was asking everyone, have you seen my son? Have you seen my son? And so that's how intensely devotees feel who are lovers of Krishna when Krishna leaves. And they're, have you seen Krishna? Have you? They're so mad that they even ask the plants and the trees and the mountains, have you seen Krishna? And the grass. They ask the grass, oh, have you seen him? He must have walked on you, so you must know. And then they ask the earth. Now he's somewhere on the earth, so you must know where he is. He's somewhere on you. So please tell us. But nobody would answer their questions. So they just felt that intense separation. This is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to feel separation from Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says in a purport that there are still Many devotees of the Lord lingering in Vrindavan in ecstasy in search of Krishna and his childhood associates. It is not that they meet Krishna face to face in Vrindavan, but his devotees eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as seeing him personally. So even if you don't see Krishna, if you search even in your daily life, and it may not be Vrindavan where you live, you may be living in New Zealand or somewhere else, but if you eagerly search for Krishna in your life, you will meet him. The searching is as good as seeing him, because you're trying to see him. That was our first homework, the first day. Please try to see Krishna in your daily life. How do you see Krishna every day? How do you see him in your daily life? And this gives more pleasure to the devotees than even seeing him face to face, just searching for him, looking for him. Where is Krishna? How can I find him in my life? So that is something you can do. So now we will ask Karunika to tell us her story about depending on Krishna and the mercy of Krishna. And it's also a little bit about separation, too.
You mean what happened?
Yeah.
The assignment was to see how the mercy of Krishna was happening in your life, but I wasn't really thinking about that. I was just in my mundane life cooking dinner at night time, and it was the time to feed the cats. We have two cats. One cat is our cat, and one cat is our daughter's cat. But we're cat sitting while she's in England, and she's very attached to her cat, and it's a very fancy cat and a very expensive cat. So consequently, we take great care of her cat, but our cat just is a cat. Her cat requires a lot of attention, and because we're very attached to our daughter, then consequently we put a lot of energy into her cat. So it's nap time, and the cats are ready to eat. It's their dinner time. Our cat has turned up, but her cat didn't turn up to eat, which is very unusual, because they know when it's time to eat. So we were looking all over for this cat, and my husband was walking around the neighborhood looking for the cat, and I'm calling the cat, and I'm trying to cook dinner, and I'm going outside. But when I cook, I listen to Donadhar Maharaj speaking, always. And he speaks on the first canto, so I was listening to him speaking on these verses of Queen Kunti. And I got to the point where I was so exasperated because it was getting dark and this cat hadn't turned up, and I said to myself, I just want this cat to come back so I can stop thinking about it. And so just at that particular time in my exasperation, Maharaj said on the table, he said, so Queen Kunti, she was endeavoring in her own, not endeavoring in her own endeavor to solve all of these difficulties. She just surrendered to Krishna. She just turned to Krishna whenever there was a difficulty. So I thought, all right, Krishna, bring this cat back. I'm tired of thinking about it. Saying that, suddenly out of inspiration, I went over to the couch where my grandchildren had been playing early and had left it earlier in the day and left the blanket and pulled up the blanket, and there was the cat.
Yes.
And we only found the cat once I realized that I had to wait for the mercy of Krishna to reveal the cat.
Okay. So, try it. It works. Try it in your daily life. Krishna will help you in any condition. Whenever you're desperate, turn to Krishna for anything. When you can't find your cat, when you're anything, just turn to Krishna and he will help you. He will definitely help you. And this is the proof. She has experience. We have an experienced devotee here who has turned to Krishna in her exasperation, and she got the mercy, she found the mercy, and she depended on Krishna as well. So two of the homework questions were answered in one time. So now we go to the next verse. Ime jana parasvita subhagva shadivirata varadi natiranvanta hirandeta vavikshitai. All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respects. Because the herbs and grains are in abundance, the trees are full of fruits, the rivers are flowing, the hills are full of minerals, and the oceans full of wealth. And this is all due to your glancing over them. Okay. Now, I would like to ask you a question about the glance of Krishna, or even any of his incarnations. We know many incarnations of Krishna. What is in the glance? Who can say? Yes? Krishna's Shakti. What else? What is the power of the glance? What can his glance do? What can the Shakti do?
Energize.
Energize, yes. Enliven, okay.
Love.
Take away.
Give providence.
Huh?
Give providence,
okay. He can also create with his glance. Time of creation. He glanced at Durga and she got pregnant.
Mercy.
So many things are in his glance. So not only creation, also maintenance is in his glance. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, if he stopped glancing, this whole universe would finish. So not only does he glance at the beginning of creation, he glances all the time. He's always looking at the creation. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't be here. And when he was creating, then every time they would create a different element, like earth, water, fire, after each one, he had to glance and then glance. Okay, earth, then he looked. Water, looking every time. So without the glance, then there would be no creation. Also, destruction is in his glance. At the Battle of Kurukshetra, he simply looked at the soldiers on the other side and shortened their lives. So with his glance, he can do everything. He just has to look. So she said that now you are glancing at our kingdom. Therefore, everything is so opulent. Just like New Zealand, there are fruits in the trees now. There are plums, there are apples. I've seen apples and plums. And the rivers are flowing, the ocean is there, it's very beautiful. And this is all by the glance of Vishnu, actually. He's glancing, and therefore it's beautiful. Of course, unfortunately, the people are doing a lot to destroy it. Here, not here in New Zealand, but in other countries, they pollute the rivers and the air. Oh, here also? Okay, yes. So, but by his desire, everything is pure and beautiful. You can even drink the water and everything. So this is, if we depend on Krishna, then all the opulence will be there. If we keep Krishna in our house, if we have the deities of Krishna, they will glance at us, they will glance at the house, and everything will be beautiful. And previously, India was very opulent. Even now, actually, it's pretty opulent. People in the, if you read the history, people used to go by boat to India to get silk and gold and jewels and everything in the old ancient times. India was a very opulent place. Even now it is still opulent and people go there to get opulent saris, opulent cloth and different things. But India is not so much aware of their spiritual opulence. They're not like I was selling books in Bombay. And one man, he came and he said, "Oh, this Gita, we don't read that. It's better just to throw it in the ocean," because we were on the ocean there. And so my husband said, "Why don't you throw your brain in the ocean?" It's like, so they are throwing away their spiritual life, and they're running after technology. In the 70s, we had a Prime Minister, Indira Gandhi. There was a cartoon about her in the newspaper, and it said, you know, people are hungry here, because that time when we were in the 70s, India was sending all its grains to Russia, and in exchange was getting weapons and defense and planes and kinds of things. So there was a scarcity of grains because they were sending it all to Russia, and there even rice was rationed. In Bombay, one devotee got in jail because he was doing food for life. You're only supposed to have a certain quantity of rice, and so he had over the quota, and he was doing food for life, food distribution. He got in jail because he was over the quota. of rice. And then one time I went to Bombay and they had no rice. They were just eating every day this Ekadashi rice. That was their rice for quite a while because it was rationed. So there was a cartoon in the newspaper about Indira Gandhi that there were some starving people, you know, we're hungry, please give us food. And she said, don't worry, in 1 week we will have TV. And that's what happened. The TV came, and so people got degraded from the TV. So they don't think, it doesn't say that the TV is flourishing and the slaughterhouses are flourishing. It says the grains are in abundance. The rivers are flowing. These are the natural things. These are the natural opulences. And so this is, in ancient times, the kings, they used to eat off of gold plates. And they would eat once because you get contaminated and they would throw the gold away. Someone would pick it up and use it. But nobody would take it because everyone had what they wanted. So that's why, yeah.
Does it mean the oceans are full of wealth?
Yes. In the ocean you get pearls. Pearls. That is the wealth of the ocean. You get pearls from oysters. And also some jewels, it is said, you can get too. But they haven't figured that one out yet. There is abundant wealth in the ocean, but they can't find it. They can't. Just like there is gold in the Himalayas, but who can go there where there is wealth? So Arjuna went there because there was a sacrifice, you know, millions of years ago, and the old gold was still sitting there. Nobody stole it because they didn't need it. It was given in charity to the Brahmins, but the Brahmins said, oh, this is too heavy, we'll just leave it here. And so when Arjuna needed the gold, he went to the Himalayas and brought it for the Rajasiya sacrifice, for the sacrifice of Yudhisthira. But now we have, you know, plastic and paper and plastic bangles instead of gold bangles and paper plates, plastic glasses. So that's replaced the gold and the silver and the other things that we used to eat off of in the old days. So this was the opulence of Krishna. And she said this prosperity is due to your glance. We also had an experience of Srila Prabhupada when he would glance at us. Then we felt very enlivened, and often we felt that he could see right through us. He could see what we were thinking for many births, not just this birth. So the glance of a pure devotee also can empower you to do things. Now in the 10th canto, Lord Brahma, after he stole the cowherd boys, he was praying to Lord Krishna and he saw all of them transform into Vishnu, and they looked at him and there was something very special in their glance. In the glance, when Vishnu looked at Brahma, it was like the mode of passion. In a sense, he created desires for devotional service in Lord Brahma when he glanced at him. So when the deity glances at you with his eyes, he can give you desire for devotional service. He can create desires to do service for him. And if he smiles, now in the smile there was something else. It was more like the mode of goodness. And that was to maintain your desires, your spiritual desires. So when you look at the deities, the smile is to protect you, to protect your spiritual desires. And the glance is to create those desires. So even now we can take advantage of the glance of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, more merciful incarnation of Lord Chaitanya and Nitai. And they will give us desires for devotional service and protect those desires. Verse 41. Ta vishvesh vishvatman Vishvamurte sakeshme sneha pashamimam chindhi dritam pandisavishnisa. O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Rishnis. So Kunti, here in the purport, Prabhupada says, Srimati Kunti Devi wished Shri Krishna to remain with her sons, the Pandavas, that by his doing so, her paternal house would be bereft of the benefit. All these partialities troubled the mind of Kunti, and therefore she desired to cut off the affectionate tie. So she had two families, her husband's family, her children, and then the other family, her father's and mother's family. And if she said, Krishna, stay with us, don't go, that means that her father's family would be bereft of the association, and her father. She was a sister of Vasudev, so that was also the father of Krishna. So if she wanted, she kept Krishna with her, then the other family wouldn't get Krishna. And he wanted to go there now to Dwarka. He was leaving to see the other family. So because she had this attachment now for the one family, she's thinking, oh no, now if I keep him here, then my other family won't get to see him. So therefore she was saying, okay, better just cut off this attachment. That I'm thinking, yes, this is my family. Krishna should stay here. I'm attached to these, my sons now. So therefore, I want the best for them, and I don't care about the other family. The better just to be equal to all. And so Prabhupada, oh, actually, we'll see. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he reveals Kunti's mind. Also, it's not just this family versus that family. She's thinking, will I die uselessly thinking only of their welfare? And so it's a matter of thinking to please Krishna. It's not that you don't think of your family, but you think of them in connection to Krishna. So Prabhupada says, a pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. The typical example is the band of six Goswamis who followed the path of Lord Chaitanya. All of them belong to the most enlightened and cultured rich families of the higher castes. But for the benefit of the mass of population, they left their comfortable homes and became mendicants. To cut off all family affection means to broaden the field of activities. Without doing this, no one can be qualified as a brahmana, a king, a public leader, or a devotee of the Lord. So we don't escape. We're in the category of devotees, hopefully. And so therefore, I realized that myself, that preaching means that it's not that you cut off your affection, but you expand your affection to everyone. It's like the whole world becomes your family. Like I had one son, or I have one son, and I'm certainly affectionate to him. But in order to preach, in order to follow the order of Srila Prabhupada, I don't stay with him and make sure, watch his every move, and make sure he's brushing his teeth. And of course, he's older now. He's 23 years old, and he'd rather not have me watch him and be with him, make sure he brushes his teeth. But one thing I realized, that even when I wasn't with him, I was still thinking of him. You know, I was sitting down in my house and thinking, oh, what is my son doing now? So better than that is if I go out and preaching and think of everybody's children, and everyone becomes my son and daughter and my brother and sister and my mother and father. So it's not like you cut it off, but you expand. You expand your family. Now, what does she mean by cutting off, though, actually? What is this cutting off? Affection. Prabhupada does say that. He says, bhakti involves becoming free from the attachments of this material world and becoming attached, said, to Krishna. One cannot become unattached, for one must be attached to something. So, what shall we become attached to? The Mayavadis, they say, just become detached. Sannyas is the ultimate, that is their goal. They just want to be sannyasis. And they say, if you're sannyas, then you become Narayan. You are God. Just by becoming taking sannyas. But it's not the truth. There are many Mayavadi sannyasis in Vrindavan. And they haven't given up. Even they can't even follow the four regulative principles, to tell you the truth. I met one devotee from... she wasn't a devotee. She was a congregational member, let's say. Not practicing full-time, but she came from London, and she was staying in one guest house near our temple. And that guest house, there was a sannyasi in charge, and the sannyasi was giving lectures and Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Sapta and everything. But somehow she got into a relationship with the sannyasi, and they were having, you know, illicit sex. So she told the sannyasi, you know, this is not good. We should get married. So the sannyasi said, I can't get married, I'm a sannyasi. So this is what's going on. In Vrindavan. Because they think they are Krishna, and so therefore they can enjoy. Krishna is enjoying with so many gopis. I am Krishna, and you are a gopi. Therefore, we should enjoy. That is what they think. So, yes, this is going on. Because they don't have Krishna. They don't have anything. They just have the white light. Even that they don't have. They haven't made it yet, but they're trying to get to the white, to the Brahman. Because they don't have any attachment or affection. There's no affection in Brahman. There's no mercy in Brahman. There's no, in the white light, you don't get love. You don't feel the mercy. You're just trying to do it on your own. They're just very, okay, I will become self-realized. The yogis and the gyanis, they have this. They're on their own. They're very independent. But the devotee is very dependent. No, Krishna will help me. Krishna will protect me. Krishna's mercy. I will live on Krishna's mercy. It's a difference between the impersonalist and the personalist. So now Kunti is praying for this unalloyed bhakti. So we should not, even in this world, if we sacrifice the permanent for the temporary, sometimes we may do that, we lose both. You're still... You may sacrifice some spiritual thing for your material life, but then you realize after a while that actually I didn't get the material and I didn't get the spiritual. Someone was telling me a story of about somebody who left this temple, and because it was too hard to get up early in the morning, it was very difficult for that person, for that devotee. How can I get up early in the morning? It's too difficult. So then he went out and got a job. And another reason why he left was because there was no toilet paper in the temple. So, therefore, he got a job in a place where they make toilet paper. And he had to get up at 2 in the morning to go to his work. So then one day he started thinking, well, I've got all the toilet paper I want. And at the same time, I left the temple because I had to get up early, but here I am, 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm working this forklift machine for this toilet paper, and I think I better just leave and go back to the temple. It's much better. So he realized it's better to get up early for Mangalarti than to get up early to take care of toilet paper. So this is a true life story. So we should not sacrifice the spiritual for the material, or otherwise we'll lose both. So he lost his Krishna consciousness, and he did get his toilet paper, but he lost his sleep even more, actually, being out there. But Krishna works in funny ways to bring you back. So with that devotee, it was a joke. It was a real joke, Krishna's joke. So next verse, 42. Tvai me nanya vishaya matir madhupate sakrit ratimo vahataradha gange valkam odanvati. O Lord of Madhu, as a Ganga forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn into you without being diverted to anyone else. So here is where the attraction has to go. Just like the Ganga is flowing, our attraction must flow to Krishna. When it flows to Krishna constantly, then we're on the highest level of devotional service. And even before that, if our mind takes us to Krishna, then we're on the level of asakti, or attachment. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he was attached, he wanted a kingdom, but when he saw Krishna, when he saw Narayan, and that was it, he said, I forget about the kingdom, I want you. I want you. So Srila Prabhupada explains a little bit more about cutting off affection, material affection, in the purport of 42. Perfection of pure devotional service is attained when all attention is diverted towards the transcendental loving service of the Lord. To cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feelings of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. And so we must have the affection for Krishna. And because we love Krishna, we love our children, we love our family, we love our friends. Because Krishna is there. He's there in the heart of all of them. And therefore, when you serve your family, you're serving devotees. You're serving devotees of Krishna. That's how Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw it. He says, this is your family. I am simply the servant. And I am maintaining your family, Krishna. I'm maintaining this family for you. It is for your pleasure. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, we can see Arjuna desire not to fight with his brothers and relations just to satisfy his own personal desires. But when he heard the message of the Lord, Bhagavad Gita, he changed his decision and served the Lord. And for his doing so, he became a famous devotee of the Lord. For it is declared in all scriptures, Arjuna attained perfection by devotional service to the Lord in friendship. Fighting was there, the friendship was there, Arjuna was there, and Krishna was there. But Arjuna became a different person by devotional service. Therefore, the prayers of Kunti also indicate the same categorical changes in activities. Srimati Kunti wanted to serve the Lord without diversion, and that was her prayer. So again, I would like to use one of the things you told me yesterday about that Muslim man. At her service, her work is to be a caregiver to other people. And one of her patients was a Muslim, and she was giving him care. And one time he was near death, he had a stroke, and she held his hand, and she was chanting Hare Krishna to him. And one time her supervisor came to see how she was doing, and the supervisor asked the Muslim, so how is your caregiver here? And he said, my caregiver is not the best in New Zealand, but she's the best in the world. And so then Karunika said to him, he said that to Karunika, and she said, you know why? You know why that is?
Why
you think like that? It's because I'm a devotee of Krishna. That's why. And I see Krishna in your heart, and that's why I'm serving you like this. And what did he say? Religious people always do better. So, even if you have a job, people understand you're doing better because you're a devotee. I know one devotee, he had a job and he would finish all his work in 4 hours and the remaining time he would just be chanting, and his supervisor said, what happened? Why are you not doing your work? He says, finished. You have more work? No? Okay, then. I noticed that too, and I went out and did some work. I would finish like in half hour what it took other people 2-3 hours, because they go and they talk and they do so many things, and smoke, and they have other things to do during the work, and they play computer games if they're on the computer. And so, yes, devotee is more expert because he's Krishna conscious. So she wants to think of Krishna constantly. Asakrit, asakrit, let my love flow to you continuously. This is a symptom of bhava, that you are very conscious how your time is being used. If a second or a minute is wasted, you feel very unhappy. If there's a minute or second you're not serving Krishna or thinking of Krishna, the person in bhava is feeling disturbed. So his every minute, every second, he is serving Krishna. And one of my god sisters, Slardini, she was up at 2 every morning and sleeping at 10, she was doing the whole deity worship, all the artis, cooking all the offerings. So she would also sew for the deities. So when would she sew and make ewiks? Well, she was, you know, you'd leave the offering on the altar and then she would do her sewing. Then she would even read the books. She had a book in every room open. And then she would read like one page when she would go in this room and one page when she'd go in another room. That way she read all the books, Prabhupada, while she was doing her service. Sometimes she didn't even have time to chant her rounds, so she would I'm not encouraging you to do this, but she would put her bead bag up in the kitchen and she would look at her beads and she would chant japa while she was cooking, like in a way that you chant japa, and then she would figure out when one round, then she would go pull the bead down while she was cooking. But we should not do that, but I mean, this is an example of a person who used her time every second for Krishna, every minute. So we can look at our day and see where we can spend some more time with Krishna. So Prabhupada, again in the purport, says relations of the soul established in relation with the Supreme Soul are factual relations. When Kunti Devi wanted to cut off the family relation, she meant to cut off the relation of the skin. Skin relation is cause of material bondage, but relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of soul to soul can be established by the via medium of relation with super soul. So the question is, so what is this attachment that we're meant to cut off? I mean, Prabhupada says, no, we should have affection for our family, we should have affection for people. Well, what is it that is meant to be cut off? What is that type of affection? And I've something I've experienced in my family life, yeah?
Thinking that it's
going to last forever, okay.
Material activities that go on
in relationship with that person.
The desire
that comes there. What I also saw in my family life was there is an unhealthy affection that makes you sick. Like when you start worrying about your kids, and then you get certain diseases start coming, and you wonder, where did they come from? And then actually it's because you're worrying. It's because of that. There is unhealthy affection as well. So that should be cut off. That should be stopped. This unhealthy affection. Healthy affection is good. And healthy affection means that you do see them as spiritual beings in relationship to Krishna. And it's your service to take care of them. And anything else, any other unhealthy affection that you know of. Unhealthy means also for your satisfaction too. Expectations. Okay, I'm taking care, in India I'm taking care of this child because when I'm old, he'll take care of me. Now that is a real illusion. In India it may happen. I mean, they do have this family tradition where the son stays with the family and all that, but in the West, forget it. It's not going to happen. You're not going to, don't think that your children are going to. I have a friend who has 8 children. I said, do any of them take care of you? She said, no, they just ask me for money. She has no money. I asked several people. I even asked some Indian devotees. They said, no, our kids, they just come here and ask for money. So, no, it's not going to happen. It's a very difficult thing. So where is, one thing we should know that there is an eternal family life, and that's in the spiritual world. We have our family up there, our eternal family. We have our brothers and we have our sisters, we have our children, we have our husbands, our wives. We have everything in the spiritual world. Whatever you're looking for here, it's there. And it's eternal. And it's with Krishna. And it's, if you want Krishna as your friend, you've got him. If you want him as your son, you've got him as your son. Everything is there. So that's the family that we should try to become attached to, Krishna's family. And actually, even here in this world, when you join Krishna's family, the whole world becomes your family. And so I have that experience that my sons and daughters, who are not by birth, but who are just all over the world, they take better care of me than my own son, actually. They think more what I need and all these things. So this is Krishna consciousness. Just like when I was in Mayapur on Jayapatak Maharaj's Vyasa Puja day, there was a Vyasa Puja by Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, which he wrote before he left his body, and it was read after he left his body. It was read in Mayapur to him. He wrote an offering to Jayapatak Maharaj. And he said, I won't say goodbye, but I will say, see you soon. So it's like he's just waiting for him in the spiritual world, and he will go and see him. So now the last verse, verse 43. Shri Krishna Krishna Saka Vishni Vishapavani Druk Rajanya Vangshadahana Napavarga Virya Govinda Gadi Jasarati Haravatara Yogeshara Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief amongst the descendants of Vishnu, you are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and you descend to relieve the distresses of the cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are the Almighty God, and I offer you my respectful obeisances. So that is this picture here. That is the summary of everything, of all the prayers. This verse is a summary. Friend of Arjuna, Krishna Sakha, eternally friend. Prabhupada in his lecture says, Krishna is prepared to make you his friend. Please come, he says, become my friend. He said, make Krishna your friend. Make Krishna your son, and then you'll never lament. Oh, I lost my son. Oh, my son has gone bad. Yes, I should take this to heart. So you won't lament if you have Krishna as your son, or your friend, or your lover, or your father, or you will be, yes, your master. And he's chief, Rishabha, Avanidruk. He comes to destroy the rebellious kings. Anapavargavirya. Anapavargavirya means he shows you the path of liberation. In this world, everyone is following the path of Upavarga, which means pa pa ba pa ma. These are the in the Sanskrit language. Pa means parishram, very hard work. Pa pa, there's foam coming from your mouth. You're working so hard. Pa pa ba, frustration. Ugh, useless, byartata. And pa, fear, paya. And after fear comes ma, mrityu, or death. So this is the path of frustration in this world, path of bondage. He is giving the opposite. He's giving the path of liberation, and that is by the holy name. So it says, Govinda, Godija, Sarati Haravatara. He's the protector of the cows, the Brahmins. And he's Yogeshara. So we take shelter of Krishna. We don't need mystic powers. We just have Krishna. He has mystic powers, so he will take care of us. Instead of becoming a yogi, you just chant Hare Krishna, and all the power of Krishna will be there for you. And that's how Krishna comes in this age, so we can take shelter of this incarnation and also the incarnation of Gaur Nitai, Nitai Gaur Chandra. So let us see. I think that's about it. No homework for today. But you can continue your homework of trying to please to Krishna. Any questions or comments?
I wanted to share something.
Okay.
Yesterday when I was addressing the deities.
Right.
So initially I got agitated. I thought, what is the content she's going to read to me while I'm trying to concentrate?
Yes, the deities.
And she was behind me, so she picked up the song book
and
the last verse of the Siddh Goswami Astaka.
Oh.
And she was reading in such a powerful way.
Wow.
And then after that, when I was doing my Bhav Krishna, then she started singing Damodar Astakam. So I turned around and I thought, I wonder where she's getting this from. Then I saw she had the book. And then when I started addressing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, she went to Adhuram Madhuram, the Emperor's Witness.
Oh.
And I thought, under normal condition, I think, well, I'm so proud of my daughter singing so beautifully.
Uh-huh.
But after associating with you this week,
right,
I could see that that was Krishna.
Krishna, yes, coming. He's reciprocating with your taking care of her.
Yeah.
That your child is singing bhajans while you're dressing the deities. That's quite amazing. Yes. Okay, any other questions or comments? or sharing on this last class? No? Okay, thank you for coming. This is our last class. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
It's beautiful. Okay, I want you to put the ones you have, and I have one more here from the